What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Uma Sports Takes, and today we are going to be going over my NFC free agency grades. If you didn't catch yesterday's episode, we looked at the 16 AFC teams, and I gave grades for each of them based on their free agency moves, and I'm going to do the same thing today, but for the NFC teams. So definitely let me know if there's any other topics you want me to cover with regards to the NFL. Also, March Madness is coming up, which is personally for me very exciting. I sent in my bracket already, so maybe I'll win $1 billion from Warren Buffett, you never know. But especially as March Madness kind of comes to a close, looking at the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and Final Four, I can definitely make an episode kind of analyzing that. And also for the future, I am working on currently a massive podcast episode on the Olympics. I think you guys will really enjoy that one. I think it's going to be really great. So lots to look forward to, but for right now, we're going to be looking at the NFC and the moves that each of these 16 teams have made so far this free agency period. Let's start with the NFC East and the division winners from last year, which are going to be the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, what better way to start than with just the most exciting team this free agency period? They signed Eric Kendricks, and yep, that's about it. I mean, I guess they released injury-prone Michael Gallup and even more injury-prone Leighton Vander Esch, but they seem pretty content on not signing anyone in order to save for the inevitable massive contract extensions of Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb in the future. As kind of a result of that, though, they had to let Stephon Gilmore and Tyron Smith walk. So the loss of talent with a lack of replenishing that talent will result in a low grade. We'll give them a C for Cowboys, you know? Moving on to the next team in the division, we have the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's see what Howie Roseman has cooked up for them in free agency this time. Adding Bryce Huff took a good sum of cash, but considering that Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat are in their final years in their contracts, it makes sense. And now the Eagles are actually flexible to trading either one of those guys, and probably netting good value from it since they're both in the primes of their careers. Getting CJ Gardner-Johnson back allowed them to release the aging Kevin Byard, and adding Devin White will maybe be good to have kind of a new face on that defense, because the defense really lost its identity towards the end of the last season. This grade, though, is lowered because of the Saquon Barkley trade. I'm sure it feels great to poach from the less fortunate division member of the Giants, but that is a big contract for a running back who has a lengthy injury history. It's somewhat excusable because the Eagles fancy themselves as a contender, but I still don't like it. The biggest loss, though, is, of course, Hall of Famer Jason Kelce at center, who retired. It's pretty much impossible to replace a guy like that. Overall grade, though, for the Eagles is going to be an A-. Moving on to the next team in the division, we have the New York Giants. The Giants had some great moves and some not-so-great moves. I mean, I guess that's what everybody does in free agency except for the Panthers, but anyway, one of their better moves for the Giants was acquiring Brian Burns from the aforementioned Panthers for a very good deal of only a couple of picks. He will pair nicely with young first-rounders Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence on the defensive line. The Giants did lose Saquon Barkley, which I know hurt many Giants fans' hearts, but to be honest, they were better off not shelling out big money for a running back when they aren't near playoff competition. The Eagles signing him, though, is quite the low blow. The bigger loss, though, in my opinion, which I feel like not a lot of people are talking about, is Xavier McKinney. He has been excellent at safety, and he's so young, and so I'm frankly just surprised that the Giants didn't at least match the deal he received from Green Bay. Because the deal he received from Green Bay, it was expensive, yes, but it wasn't really outlandish given the production he's done so far in his young career. Overall grade for the Giants is going to be a B+. And the final team in the division, the Washington Commanders. The Commanders had the most cap space in the league, and boy did they act like it. Getting rid of Sam Howell and getting Marcus Mariota makes a lot of sense for the Commanders because you want a veteran guy kind of backing up or mentoring the franchise man that it seems they'll draft with the number 2 overall pick. Mariota also comes in at a cheaper price than retaining Jacoby Brissett would have, so that's pretty nice. New head coach Dan Quinn reunited with some of the players he coached in Dallas, including Dorrance Armstrong in defense, as well as center Tyler Biadasis. The Commanders added to their backfield with the signing of Austin Ekeler, which more than makes up for the departure of Antonio Gibson, and adding Zach Ertz is good for veteran leadership as well. Other moves on defense include acquiring the hyper-efficient linebacker Frankie Luvo, adding safety Jeremy Chinn, and signing an aging but still productive Bobby Wagner. Overall, this is a pretty solid free agency from the Commanders, and while there's some nitpicky stuff in terms of the prices of some of these players and You could argue they don't really need Austin Eckler. I overall liked their moves here, and so I'm going to give them a grade of an A. Congrats, highest grade in the division for probably the worst team, but maybe that's the Giants now. You never know. Moving on to the next division, we have the NFC West, and the best team in the NFC West was, of course, the NFC champion, 49ers. The 49ers lost Eric Armstead and Chase Young on their defensive line, and so they paid a decent bit to bring in Leonard Floyd as well as Yetur Gross-Matos. Floyd makes a lot of sense. He's been a very consistent sack producer for the past several years, even though he's played on a few teams. However, Gross-Matos' contract seems like an overpay. The second-round pick really struggled in Carolina, and Carolina was basically starting anyone and everyone on defense because nothing really worked. So I'm personally not seeing the reason for this overpay, but if the 49ers can unlock its potential, I guess no one will bat an eye at the deal then. For now, though, the grade's going to be a B-. Moving on to the next team in the division, we have the Los Angeles Rams. The best move from the Rams offseason was giving guard Dotson a long-term deal. He was originally a mid-round pick for the Steelers, and he struggled because they tried to move him from guard to tackle. But turns out, the Rams letting Dotson play his original position at guard was all it took for him to recapture excellent form, and that resulted in him getting paid like it. A 3-year, $48 million contract to be exact. But I think that is a great deal for both sides. Adding Colby Parkinson at tight end was expensive, but necessary because starting tight end Tyler Higbee tore his ACL late in the season last year, and so he will probably be out for at least a couple months of the season this year. Parkinson is also a good run blocker, so that kind of fits LA's scheme there. The biggest loss for the Rams, obviously, comes with the retirement of Aaron Donald. There's really just not much you can do to replace that level of production in free agency. Hopefully they'll end up drafting someone, but yeah. The chances that he becomes Aaron Donald are, well, quite slim. Great overall, though, B+. Moving on to the next team in the division, we have the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks needed to retain Leonard Williams and Noah Fant, and they did just that. Williams got paid, like, a lot of money. But since they sent over several draft picks to the Giants just to acquire him, and considering Seattle's defense already isn't that great, this deal just had to be done. Likewise with Fant, Seattle lost its other tight ends, Will Disley and Colby Parkinson, and so retaining Fant was a must. His deal was also pretty expensive for what he is, but again, it just had to be done. They also replaced backup Drew Lock with Sam Howell, which isn't really an upgrade, a downgrade, it's kind of just the same. Other than that, not much really happened for the Seahawks. They actually still have a decent bit of cap space if they wanted to make some more moves, though, so potentially their free agency period isn't quite over yet. Grade overall is going to be a B. Moving on to the last team in the NFC West, we have the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals entered free agency needing corner help, and considering that the draft's corners are projected to go much later than the number 4 overall pick where they are selecting, free agency seemed like the time to find one. Unfortunately for the Cardinals, there really weren't many young options. Alas, it resulted in an overpay for the only one option there seemed to be, Sean Murphy Bunting. He's been decent the past few years, but is he worth a 3-year, $26 million deal? Probably not. The Cardinals also overpaid for defensive lineman Justin Jones. This was another 3-year, $30 million deal, but Jones hasn't produced at a level worth that price tag. So did the Cardinals fill needs? Yes, but they way overpaid to do so, earning them a grade of a C+. Let's move on to the next NFC division that's going to be the NFC North, and let's start off with the Detroit Lions. The Lions sought to address secondary issues by adding cornerback Carlton Davis Jr. and cornerback Amik Robertson, and they'll have to hope that makes up for the lost production of CJ Gardner-Johnson, who the Eagles decided they wanted back after his one-year hiatus in Detroit. Re-signing offensive lineman Greg Glasgow was definitely much needed, as he proved his value this year blocking for the Detroit smash-mouth run game. Adding DJ Reader is really nice to clog up the middle, but he doesn't really provide much of a pass rush. Surprisingly, despite having Aiden Hutchinson notching 11.5 sacks, the Lions had very few sacks as a team collectively, and so they're taking a low-risk, high-reward one-year deal with Marcus Davenport to potentially see if they can develop him into something more than what he was previously, which was not very good. So, hopefully they can do that. Overall, though, a pretty solid free agency period for the should-have-been 2023 NFC champs. Grade, B+. Moving on to the next team in the division, a bit of a surprise last season, we have the Green Bay Packers. The Packers were quite active this offseason as well. Now, having found something at quarterback with Jordan Love, it's all about building the team around him. They upgraded at running back by adding Josh Jacobs, but unfortunately they weren't able to work out a deal with Aaron Jones. They, in fact, made the situation much worse because they asked him to take a pay cut, and that he found insulting, and so that allegedly contributed to his spiteful joining of division rival Vikings. He is really on his Brett Favre era. Defensively, the Packers paid for the best safety in the market, Xavier McKinney. This was very smart as the upcoming draft is quite sparse in safety talent, and it certainly makes up for losing former first-round pick Darnell Savage, who was injured for much of 2023. Overall, pretty solid free agency for the Packers. If Aaron Jones didn't go to the division rival Vikings, it would be an A grade, but just because of that, I'm going to take them down one notch and give them a grade of an A minus. Moving on to the next team in the NFC North, we have the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are in literal shambles right now. They let Kirk Cousins go, which may prove to be a smart move down the road, but now it kind of leaves them in complete no man's land because they don't have a high enough draft pick to get another quarterback. They could trade up, I guess, and it seems like they were trying to work something out to trade back up into the first round, but that's way later in the first round. And so as of now, it's kind of looking like they're rolling off, cast off about four different times Sam Darnold, which is a major yikes. With that, there's also the looming question of Justin Jefferson. The man needs to be paid eventually, but will he want to do that with the Vikings when their quarterback situation is quite dire at the moment? They did manage to snag Aaron Jones on a one-year deal from the Packers, and I also like the signing of Jonathan Greenard, who is much needed after they lost Danielle Hunter. Did you guys know Danielle Hunter had 17.5 sacks last season? Like, geez, talk about underrated. Another low-key move was reuniting linebacker Van Ginkle with his old head coach Brian Flores, who is now the Vikings' defensive coordinator. Those last few smart moves help improve the Vikings' free agency grade that would otherwise not be very high due to the quarterback issue. Grade C+. And finally, the last team in the NFC North is the Chicago Bears. It was quite the yikes free agency period for the Bears. Everyone was awaiting a deal for Justin Fields, but by the time one came, it only netted the Bears a conditional 6th-round pick. Considering what other teams traded for backup quarterbacks in similar positions, like Kenny Pickett netting a 3rd, this is very low value, especially considering many still believe Fields has the talent to be a starter for a franchise down the road. In addition to that, the Bears also confusingly gave DeAndre Swift a sizable 3-year deal. While Swift did have the best season of his career last year with the Eagles, it seems to be another case of the Eagles' offensive line being absolutely outstanding, more so than anything Swift did particularly. Hopefully he won't turn out like Miles Sanders the year before him, but that fear is definitely real. Apparently not in Chicago, though. They seem to be keen on flinging him money, so good for him, I guess. Another strange deal to me was giving money to an aging Kevin Byard, who has appeared to be a step slower than he used to be, and is on the wrong side of 30. The main thing saving the Bears' free agency grade is retaining second-team All-Pro cornerback Jalen Johnson. 4 years is a lot for a veteran corner, but he proved his worth last year. I did also like acquiring Keenan Allen via a trade with the Chargers. He's coming off one of the best seasons of his career with 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns. Despite him being older at age 31, he clearly still has a lot of ability, and the tandem of him and DJ Moore should be ample weapons for Caleb Williams to work with. Grade overall, B-. Moving on to the last division in the NFC, we have the NFC South. The first team here is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kind of like Seattle, the Bucs had players that they needed to retain, and overall did pretty much just that. The main two guys were Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans. Baker's contract of 3 years, $100 million, places him squarely in this middle tier of quarterbacks, which is exactly what he's worth. So that's good work that really benefits both parties. The ever-so-consistent 1,000-yard season every time Mike Evans got an extension of 2 years for $41 million, which again I think works for both sides. An underrated move is reuniting safety Jordan Whitehead, who will pair nicely with Antoine Winfield Jr. The real loss, though, is the retirement of center Ryan Jensen. Although he didn't get nearly as much press as a certain other center in Philly retiring, this guy was a true stalwart, and the Bucs will sorely miss him anchoring the front. Another pretty big loss was Shaq Barrett, but considering it was basically between re-signing him and re-signing Lavonte David, the Bucs definitely made the right choice, as Barrett is older for his position at 31 years of age. Overall grade for the Bucs is a solid B. Moving on to the next team in the NFC South, we have the New Orleans Saints. The Saints continue on their never-ending quest of mediocrity in the post-Brees era by refusing to rebuild from scratch, yet not having much money or talent to work with. They did get linebacker Willie Gay for a decent deal, and extended the Honey Badger, and added a big name with relatively little production in Chase Young, but besides that, not much else. Well, I mean, I guess Michael Thomas was released, but let's be real, that poor man died about 5 years ago, and they brought in Cedric Wilson to replace him, so I guess that was another move. This grade would be lower, except the Saints signed Nathan Peterman, so this is a win for the memes. In all seriousness, though, I'm giving the Saints a D, because it's just the same old agonizingly painful thing every year. They need to just blow the whole thing up and start over, but they still fancy themselves as competitive because their division is so awful that they're theoretically still in contention. If the Saints want to get anywhere above where they are right now, they need to just start over. But they don't, and so that earns them a free agency grade of a D. Moving on to the next team in the division, with maybe slightly more optimism, we have the Atlanta Falcons. Starting with some of the minor moves, Darnell Mooney was added to be the wide receiver 2 to complement Drake London. I like this move as it reunites Mooney with the man who drafted him, former Bears GM Ryan Pace. Somewhere, Arthur Smith sighs as Jonnu Smith is no longer with the team, but everyone else breathes a sigh of relief, as maybe Kyle Pitts will unlock some of that vaunted potential he was drafted for. The man the Falcons hope can do that is Kirk Cousins. I've seen very mixed reviews on this signing. It undoubtedly makes the Falcons better, as their previous quarterback situation was, well, a combination of Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke, and that is, let's just say, undesirable to say the least. The team has a ton of offensive talent, and Cousins was playing some of the best football of his career last season. That was until he tore his Achilles, which at 36 years old is a significant injury. But again, it seems like we're expecting Aaron Rodgers to return back to MVP form off of his torn Achilles in his 40s. At least Jets fans are hoping for that. That is one troubling point for Kirk Cousins, but the other is that Cousins hasn't proven capable of achieving postseason success, despite his very nice statistics in the regular season. Maybe a change of scenery will help him get over that hump. To me, I think I land somewhere in the middle. At best, it elevates the Falcons past the mediocrity that is their division, and they make a postseason run. At worst, the Falcons become the latest in a team in the teams that are seemingly one quarterback away, but then fail when they land the quarterback. Exhibit A, the Broncos with Russell Wilson. Potentially Exhibit B, the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, although I guess time will still tell on that one. Great overall for the Falcons, this free agency is going to be a B+. And lastly, and most certainly least, we have the worst team in football last season, the Carolina Panthers. What do you do when you're literally at rock bottom and don't even have a draft haul to revamp? Well, I guess you try and overhaul the roster once again. After flirting with the idea of trading Brian Burns at the start of the season, the Panthers finally did it, but as a result appreciated his value to only getting a second and fifth round pick in return. The offensive additions of Deontay Johnson and Robert Hunt are both decent, though. Johnson, I guess, becomes their wide receiver 1, because they really don't have anyone else besides million-year-old Adam Thielen. Robert Hunt, though, was graded very highly on PFF, so hopefully Bryce Young doesn't die back there. Or whatever else they chuck back there, because let's be honest, David Tepper is so impatient that I wouldn't even be surprised if we just saw a new quarterback back there entirely. Who even knows at this point? Great for the Panthers overall, though. It's going to be a C. And that concludes the podcast episode on giving free agency grades for every single NFC team. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this one. And if you have any feedback on it, definitely make sure to email me, umasports6@gmail.com. And if you want some more of my content that is a completely different style from this podcast, definitely check me out on TikTok and YouTube. The links should be in the description of whatever app you're listening to this podcast on. I post shorts there daily and short form videos on TikTok as well. And they're basically just a bit of fun, you know, anything less than 15 seconds to just kind of entertain you, mostly about the NFL and NBA. So definitely check those out. And if you have suggestions for future podcast episodes, again, shoot me an email, umasportstakes@gmail.com. This free agency episode was actually recommended to me by a bunch of you, and so that's why I made sure to do it. Took 2 parts because I think there's a ton to talk about, and so I hope you guys kind of enjoyed that format as well. Be on the lookout in the future for an episode on the Olympics, as well as probably an episode on March Madness as we get further into the tournament. But again, it was nice if you tuned in. And I'll make sure to catch you in the next episode. Peace.